Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Ultrasound Gel Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. My name's Mike Pratz, and I'm joined by the wonderful Cray Bolger.
Good morning.
Today we're going to talk about an article titled Diagnostic Accuracy of Abdominal Wall Ultrasonography and Local Wound Exploration in Predicting the Need for Laparotomy Following Stab Wound. This was an article out of Iran, and it is published in the journal Emerge in January 2017. So, Cray, I didn't know that you could ultrasound stab wounds. Is this, what's that all about?
You can ultrasound anything, Mike.
If you put your mind to it.
Yes. So I was really excited about this article because outside of ultrasound, my second love is trauma and all things trauma. And we have a unique patient population here that likes to put random things into their abdominal wall. So I found this to be even more intriguing. However, so 25% of stab wounds are superficial. So going and getting an open abdomen for a superficial wound is a bad thing, in case that wasn't clear. So we don't want to do unnecessary laparotomies. Obviously, cutting somebody's abdomen open, you have higher morbidity, higher mortality. DPL is still an option, though it's highly falling out of favor, and I would question if your doctor's actually ever done one before in this day and age. Many just have serial clinical exams and observation as their current practice. Local wound exploration has been proven to be pretty poor as a prognostic indicator. CT can help, but we're in the day and age of trying to decrease radiation exposure for our patients. So what can replace all these things is maybe ultrasound. So that was the question, is can POCUS diagnose the need for laparotomy in patients with anterior abdominal stab wounds? And really the question is, can POCUS find a peritoneal violation? Which is what we're ultimately asking, is did it go through the important parts?
Right.
So the patient population, adults greater than 18, I'd bet that the majority of this patient population was male based on clinical experience. And they looked at patients with anterior abdominal stab wounds. If they were hemodynamically stable, they were out because they got to the OR before the ultrasound could be turned on.
Hemodynamically unstable.
Yes.
Instable?
Instability or unstable.
Yeah.
If they had signs of peritonitis, if there were organs coming out of the wound, if they had an active GI bleed, pregnant, if there was an obvious penetrating object sticking out of the abdomen, if they had a positive FAST, if their intestines were hanging out, if there were multiple wounds, or if for any other reason somebody decided they needed to go to the OR now, ultrasound was deferred.
Correct. I think of those, the main one that is questionable as multiple wounds. I guess all the others are pretty understandable, but I think the multiple wounds was probably an exclusion just because of the time it would take to
explore every site.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was a 2-year cross-sectional study. They defined the anterior abdomen as mid-axillary line to mid-axillary line from the costal margin down to the inguinal ligaments. So over the abdomen. And the patients who had presented to the ED with stab wounds underwent ultrasound evaluation as well as a normal trauma evaluation first. If they did not meet any of the exclusion criteria, they had an abdominal wall ultrasound. They then had a wound exploration afterwards by a surgical resident, and then they were monitored till discharge to see what their outcomes were. Emergency medicine residents who were trained did the ultrasounds. They used a linear probe. They scanned a 10 by 10 centimeter area, which, depending on your patient population, may not be much of the abdomen. And then they looked for any disruption in abdominal wall integrity. So if the peritoneum was disrupted or there was a, quote, hazy fascial defect.
And these, interestingly, these residents were trained on sheep cadaver models. What I'm curious about is, did they stab all of these sheep and then look for the wounds?
Poor lammy.
And if so, how much did they stab him? It sounds like kind of a gruesome training practice.
Yeah.
Animals were harmed in
this
study.
Yes.
So let's talk about the results here. They ended up enrolling 50 cases. As Cray alluded to, definitely a lot of them were male. This was a mean age of about 28 years old. Overall, 34% of these cases were detected as having peritoneal penetration by the local wound exploration. So now, in this study, they're comparing both the local wound exploration and the ultrasound to the gold standard of whenever the surgeon decided they needed a laparotomy.
And I would say that's a pretty soft gold standard, that it's just an expert's opinion, but they don't have any way to tell for sure if the peritoneum's been violated.
Right, yeah, we can bring that up in the limitations, but I totally agree with you there. If you look at the area under the receiver operating characteristics curve, which kind of gives you a sense of how well this fits the gold standard, the abdominal wall ultrasound was 81.9%, and the local wound exploration was 90.78%. They also broke it down into sensitivity and specificity. So ultrasound sensitivity, 70.6, I guess if you round correctly, and specificity was 93.3%, compared to wound exploration, sensitivity of 88, which is better, and specificity of 93.3, which is the same. So ultimately, these both were fairly similar. The wound exploration was more sensitive, so therefore it had a better negative likelihood ratio. But both of them had a positive likelihood ratio of around 6 or 7.5. Now, let's get to some of the limitations. I think right off the bat, like you mentioned, Cray, the gold standard here is whether or not the surgeon wants to perform a laparotomy, and there's a lot that goes into that decision. Furthermore, they were able to use the wound exploration and possibly the ultrasound in making that decision, which gets a little cloudy when you're comparing both of those methods to the gold standard.
I agree. You give them extra information, that's going to change what you do with a patient. You know, if I'm like, the FAST is kind of positive, and then the patient all of a sudden gets sick, you're going to the OR.
Exactly. So likewise, if they explore the wound and they find that it violates the peritoneum, I suspect that may have influenced their decision to go to the OR.
I agree. Now, if I'm the patient and you're saying, hey, I'll have a super compassionate surgery resident digging in my belly, or I can use this ultrasound probe and take a look and see the same thing they're looking for, personally, I'm opting for an option number two.
That's the flip side. But the problem is that the sensitivity is where ultrasound is really lacking here. So if you're trying to rule it out right now, ultrasound's not the way to go. If you're trying to rule it in, I think that may be feasible. So if you do an ultrasound and you see it definitely, you see a little defect in the fascia there, then maybe you can avoid the wound exploration and bring the person to the OR.
I think the next question too is, what happens to those ones we missed? If it's that small that we can't detect it, is there any clinical significance in that patient population? Would they have benefited the same from the observation and serial abdominal exams? Or was something, you know, a bowel wall injury, vascular injury, was that missed, or did they do just fine?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. A little more patient-centered outcomes. Now, another thing to discuss, because I think this is a fairly novel use of ultrasound, you have to remember that in penetrating trauma, these paths of injury may not be linear. So in this study, they did scan a 10 by 10 centimeter area of the abdomen, but is that long enough if you have kind of a long instrument, or if you have an obese patient that was standing during their injury and now they're supine when you're doing your ultrasound? Maybe you would miss a defect that's just farther away from the skin incision.
Yeah, I think that's a key point. Is a big teaching point with all penetrating trauma is you can't predict the trajectory, and that the size of the penetrating object doesn't necessarily matter. It's the forces involved. So you push harder with a smaller object, you can still hit the same organ as, you know, more gentle with a larger object. So I think that's a key, is that trajectory is unreliable.
And along the same lines, they didn't assess for any gunshot wounds or bullet injuries in this study. So that may be even a smaller defect. Maybe ultrasound can't pick that up. We don't really know.
Yeah, I think that's key. The clinical correlate with that, though, is most high-force penetrating trauma is going to get an X-lap regardless, just because their risk of internal injury is much higher. Stab wounds usually do okay if they're hemodynamically stable with observation, if the initial assessment deems that there may be only minor peritoneal violation, versus, you know, a GSW is unlikely to only hit the soft tissue and not violate the peritoneum.
Great. So let me recap this study. This was a prospective study of 50 cases. All of them had anterior abdominal stab wounds without any hemodynamic instability or really any signs that they were ill. So basically, this is your well-appearing patient that comes in with their abdomen has a little cut on it. They said they were stabbed. You don't know how deep it goes. Ultrasound performed similarly compared to local wound exploration in regards to its specificity, which was 93.3%. However, ultrasound was less sensitive compared to local wound exploration in predicting the need for laparotomy. So I don't think that ultrasound is ready for prime time in excluding your stab wounds from going to the OR. Possibly you could use it to help rule in this diagnosis, but I think this is very preliminary data that just introduces this novel type of ultrasound, and further research might be able to characterize how exactly it can be used in this population of trauma patients. Well, thanks for listening to our podcast. If you enjoy it, please subscribe to our podcast so you will get it every time. It comes out every 2 weeks. Furthermore, we really appreciate your feedback. So if you want, you can tweet to us or email us, or you can post individual comments under the show notes for each episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
More pressure, more gel, more pressure, more gel, more
ultrasound gel podcast.
Well, maybe it's just like a toothpick sticking.
Yes, like our prison population.
Maybe it was a splinter in their abdominal wall.